Welcome back to the program. We see demographic statistics that in the next 20 years, more than 65% of the world's population will live in cities. We seem to be moving further and further from the land. In spite of its current romanticism, the number of family farms continues to shrink. At the same time, science and technology promises the ability to soon create food from 3D printers. While urban farmers' markets grow as perhaps our last vestige of our evolutionary roots to the land, one wonders how this shift will really impact us. Can we move so far away from our biological heritage and still be truly healthy? We're going to talk about this today with my guest, Dr. Daphne Miller. She's a family physician, a writer, and associate professor in the Department of Family Medicine at UCSF. She is the founder of Whole Family MD, a graduate of Harvard Medical School, and the author of a new book entitled Pharmacology, What Innovative Family Farming Can Teach Us About Health and Healing. Dr. Daphne Miller, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure to be with you.
Delight to have you here. Tell us a little bit about how you personally got started on this journey, a journey that would take you to virtually all parts of the country in looking for the impact that land has on our health.
Well, I actually was writing about food for over 10 years before it suddenly occurred to me that I needed to start to think about where my food was grown, I have to confess. And when I realized that there was this gap in knowledge, I started to spend more time with family farmers and quickly realized that actually our work was incredibly similar. That much of what we did during the day, as me as a family doctor and them as a family farmers, really think about our patients in their entirety. For me, it's, you know, the whole human organism and how they relate to their family and their community and their jobs. And for the farmer, it really is the land and the plants and the microbes and the soil and the people who are eating the the plants and the animals and so on. But we both have to think in this very complex way about these ecosystems. And then the more time I started to spend with farmers, I realized that, in fact, our patients were even quite similar in the way they looked anatomically. I don't know if you've ever looked at a cross-section of soil and a cross-section of the human intestine, but they actually look really similar.
You also tell the story about a woman that came to you as a patient who was herself, as you say, depleted. And the more you examined her and understood how she had gotten that way, the more you sort of understood this integrative relationship.
Absolutely. This is a story that took place in Washington State with a farmer who had taken over a piece of land that was very depleted. It had been used for years in monoculture, and the soil had not been well cared for. And he told me while I was working up there doing a little internship, he told me that at first the way he tried to rejuvenate his soil was to buy a bunch of, you know, test the soil and then buy a bunch of minerals and try and replace what was missing according to the tests. And he realized that he was spending thousands of dollars and that his soil really wasn't getting that much healthier. And then he also was concerned because a lot of these minerals were imported and he didn't know where they were from, and he realized he was probably depleting other soil in order to take the minerals from that soil. And then it suddenly dawned on him that there probably was a much more holistic way to rejuvenate his soil. So he started to actually study writings by people in the organic food and biodynamic food movement, people like Rudolf Steiner, and realized that the traditional way of rejuvenating the soil, which is the way that farmers have been doing it for thousands and thousands of years of, you know, using cover crops and rotating crops and conserving water and not plowing and using animals for fertilizer and recycling all the organic waste back into the soil, that actually made a lot more sense. And, you know, using herbs for fertilizers. And he started to do this, and his soil began to thrive, and his vegetables thrived. And he repeated the soil tests, and all of a sudden they were much better than they had been before. And I was listening to his story, and I realized how much of a parallel this was with what I often see in my practice, with patients who are very depleted and have seen a number of different health practitioners and gotten many, many different tests, and then go out and buy supplements to replace what is missing on the tests, or start themselves on medications to try and rectify what it, they feel is wrong. And they come into me and they don't feel any better. And, you know, I'm always searching for a more holistic and more balanced way of getting them better. And by spending time with this farmer, I actually had a big insight there that indeed trying to hook in to a full system, an ecosystem ourselves, can actually rejuvenate our bodies. And that was what I started to do with these patients.
Is there a conflict, as you see it, between this approach to medicine, this integrative approach that you talk about in pharmacology, and kind of cutting-edge science, both in terms of where our food comes from on the one hand, and cutting-edge science in terms of what we begin to understand about genetics and the way our body works and the way our body functions? Is there a conflict there anywhere?
That's a wonderful question, and it's something I think about quite often, this tension between technology and innovation and trying to look at things in a more balanced and natural way. And I actually have realized that they're not at all in conflict as long as you know how to use them together. And I went to Harvard Medical School. You know, I trained very much in bioscience, and I read all my medical journals, and I'm, you know, not someone who just sort of feels that crystals will heal all. And yet what I've come to realize over the years, and this is something that I think I have in common with mindful farmers, is that really understanding the natural balance of things, both in the land and in our bodies, is critical in order to understand when an intervention is necessary. And I tend to think of interventions, you know, from the, you know, most basic, as in dietary, to the most sophisticated, like surgeries and drugs and, you know, different kinds of genetic therapies, as being things that are there more to try and support or recreate the natural balance rather than being something that will completely dampen it. And, you know, a great example of that is something I see in my practice all the time. This is just a very small example, but it's something that a lot of people suffer from, is reflux, or sort of, you know, acid in their upper, mm-hmm. in their upper stomach. And the way that we tend to treat this in our society is with, you know, the so-called purple pill, one of those proton pump inhibitors that you can now buy just over the counter in the drugstore. And, you know, we call them acid blockers. When, in fact, what we know for most of these folks is not that they have excess acid, but that the acid's kind of going the wrong way. And if anything, most of these people don't have enough acid in their system, and that's actually what's causing a lot of the imbalance. So to think more holistically there, rather than trying to just, you know, dampen a symptom, and think, what is happening in the whole body? Why is it that this person is, you know, having this indigestion? What is it about their diet, their stress, their activity levels, their sleep patterns, that's causing this, rather than using this medication, which is, you know, just blocking a symptom, and which we now know has a lot of potential side effects. I mean, it's traced to, you know, higher rates of pneumonia in older adults, and even osteoporosis, and other digestive issues. So, you know, why are we using this as such a ubiquitous medication?
One of the other things that you look at is the links between some of the things you see on these farms and more modern diseases and modern practices. For example, understanding more about cancer care from a vintner that you talk to, or understanding more about stress from the egg farmer that you talk to.
Yeah, well, each chapter in pharmacology holds a whole set of new lessons for me. And it really, this book really is an exploration. It's an adventure. You know, I sort of set out with this question of what can I learn from a farmer? And as the book goes on and as I travel across the country, my mind tends to expand, you know. And so the chapter that you're referring to is one that happens pretty close to home here in Sonoma on a vineyard called Scribe. It's a small vineyard that is very holistically managed, and they use integrated pest management, which is something that a lot of vineyards in California have turned to, but really trying to find this way of keeping the vines and the soil in balance with invaders such as pests and weeds and so on. And the way it's described to me is helping beneficials and helping the fruit thrive while keeping pests at bay. And as many of the farmers who are probably listening to your show now know, the traditional way of doing that was kind of spray and pray, or bomb them out or what have you. But now what most forward-thinking farmers have realized is that these pests just start to develop resistance if you use these strong chemicals, and they just come back on force and attack your crop. And so this, what they've turned to are these much more gentle and much more balanced ways of managing the pests and the weeds by growing beneficials, by intercropping, by controlling dust, which tends to, encourage different bugs and mold, by controlling dampness, by planting, by using pheromone traps, all these different things. And what's interesting is that we're quite a distance behind this way of thinking in medicine when it comes to invasive pests in the body, such as cancers. We still have very much of a spray and pray, or sort of nuke it out, cut it out approach. And a lot of times what ends up happening is that we get ourselves completely out of balance in the process. And it's not uncommon for people to hear of, patients who were kind of successfully treated from their cancer, but who, the rest of their body fell apart. And so this more balanced approach is something that's starting to take root in medicine as a result of researchers looking to farmers and saying, we need to have this kind of integrated pest management approach for cancers.
Part of it is that you talk about farming as kind of creating its own, or nature really creating its own system. And that's really what the body needs to do in some respects.
We are absolutely an ecosystem, not only, within the confines of our own body, but also in how we relate to others and to our environment. And this ecological model is not something that we've thought about terribly much within traditional medicine. It's something that's thought of a lot within Chinese medicine and within other kinds of healing disciplines. Very much so in Chinese medicine, in fact. But within allopathic medicine, we really think on an organ by organ level. When I was trained to write notes about patients, the way that you write the notes is kind of a list of diagnoses that are based on organ systems, and then, your plan for each organ system. So we don't even tend to think of humans as, full bodies unto themselves. They're more a collection of organs, and we certainly don't tend to think of humans as part of an ecosystem when we try and approach healing them.
And as we move in greater numbers, as I was talking about in our introduction, as we move in greater numbers to cities, as we move further and further away from the land and from farms, Talk about the impact that you see this having on how our health will evolve.
Well, I actually don't see the urban movement as being something that's terribly antithetical to being connected to nature. I think that what we're starting to see is something really exciting, and that we're starting to bring nature more and more into the city. I mean, I think it's inevitable that we're, you know, there's going to be more and more people living in urban areas, just, you know, as we, you know, try and concentrate the way we work and commute and live and so on. But what we've started to see, you know, in cities like San Francisco and New York is lots of urban farming starting to happen, lots of connections between eaters in the city and farmers who are more out in the country, you know, through CSA boxes and farmers markets, and, you know, restaurants who are connected specifically to one farm, or families who are eating specifically to at one farm through CSAs. We're also seeing a lot more greenery come into the city, you know, with parklets and so on. You know, this idea that cities really can be green. I mean, we're even starting to see people, you know, develop vertical gardens against buildings and on roofs and so on. So what I'm actually seeing is more, there's a greater tie-in now happening between farmers and people in urban areas who are eaters. I see it as something pretty positive that's going on.
And what about on the other side, on the side of medicine, the degree to which the medical community is or is not embracing some of these ideas we've been talking about?
Well, that's a wonderful question as well. And I have to confess, I'm a little less hopeful when it comes to medicine. You know, one of the reasons that I started to write this book was that I, like so many of your listeners, have gotten swept up in the sustainable farming movement. I've gotten very excited about local foods and this idea of knowing our farmer and, you know, just starting to really taste the difference between a peach in season and a peach that's shipped to us from China, you know, all these things. But I've realized that medicine, sadly, seems to be going in the opposite direction. While we have this idea of make sure your food has a face, you know, this idea of knowing your farmer, in medicine, we're becoming more and more disconnected from our primary care and our family doctor. And most people can't even name their family or, you know, personal doctor anymore. They don't know who it is. And, you know, people have long waiting room times and phone trees and just really feel like they no longer, there is no sustainable medicine movement going on. And so that's what I want to see. I want to start to imitate local and sustainable agriculture within medicine and start to have that kind of care happening for our bodies, the same way we're starting to give it to the land and to our food.
And do you see that as an aspect of preventive medicine or the actual treatment of disease itself?
I see it for everything. I mean, we know that having that close connection with a primary care doctor or a family doctor saves huge amounts of money, both for the system in general, and saves money and heartache and personal suffering for the individual patient. I mean, having a doctor who knows you and can sit there and review your medications or review your health issues and be your advocate is just, it's priceless. And unfortunately, most people don't have that. They really feel very disenfranchised and like really, like they have to advocate for themselves. And like what they're really doing is going from specialist to specialist and kind of farming out their organs to these different clinics or departments, and that they don't have anybody who's there to work with them to pull it all together.
And this is in part what you were talking about earlier in terms of this tension that exists between science on the one hand and this integrative approach on the other, and this constantly more reductionist approach to medicine.
Absolutely. And, you know, once again, if we can start to all become more eco-minded, both in terms of how we think about our bodies in relationship to the planet, but also in terms of how we treat our own physical selves, I think that we're going to start to see a real shift.
Talk a little bit about some of the results you've seen with patients in putting forth this approach?
Yes, well, as I was telling you in that first chapter, when I spent time with the farmer who was rejuvenating his soil, while I was up there in Washington State working with him, I immediately thought of a patient in my practice who I write about in the book. Her name is Allie, who was herself totally depleted and had been to a bunch of doctors and taken, you know, so many supplements, and finally came to me and said, you know, I'm no better. She had gastrointestinal problems, and she was depressed, and she wasn't sleeping well, and, you know, she'd had everything checked, her vitamin D levels, her thyroid, and she was on shopping bags of supplements, literally. And so I told Allie the story about Eric's soil and how the way that he had finally brought it into balance was through this whole biodynamic way, this whole full cycle ecological way of nourishing the soil and nourishing the microbes in the soil. And so we started from that principle and, you know, said, well, what happens if we start to, you know, plug you into one of these healthy eco farms? Will you start to get some of the benefit from things that they're growing? So it was very simple. She started to, you know, actually she started to volunteer and work in a school garden. She ordered food from a community supported agriculture and stopped buying, you know, her energy bars and her sort of bulk organic from Costco. She really, you know, became connected to a couple farms. And, you know, you can, in the book, I talk about other changes that she made in terms of, you know, sleep-wake cycles and just becoming more in tune with her rhythms in general. But she actually was able to come off of a lot of her medications and to feel much better than she had with all these supplements. And as I write about in the book, one of my theories on why this happened is because she actually started to nourish all those billions of bacteria that live in her gut, her microbiome. And there's actually very interesting research showing that when we eat from healthy soil, we actually are getting many of those that DNA information into our gut from those bacteria in the soil, and they're actually helping us flourish. So we have these very intimate connections to the places where our food is grown. It's not like it's just the vitamin D, the vitamin E or vitamin A in the food that's nourishing us. It's the soil and everything that food brings along to us. And that's quite a new concept, you know, that food is not just a collection of vitamins, that it really has all these nutrients from the soil and the water and the ecology in which it's grown.
And is there evidence that doing this helps prevent the onset of diseases as well as treating things that already may be present?
Well, I would say that the word evidence might be too strong because, you know, these are just concepts that we're starting to grasp in small little windows. So microbiologists have just started to understand that, in fact, fruits and vegetables, when they come from soil, are actually carrying, you know, information from bacteria that live in that soil and translating it to the microbiome in our gut. And they've done that. There was one fascinating study that they did with seaweed in Japan where they found that a bacteria that lives on that seaweed has actually transferred its seaweed digesting DNA to bacteria that live in the gut of people who eat a lot of seaweed, so mainly Asian cultures. So we're just starting to understand this link between microbes in the soil and microbes in our microbiome. And so a lot of it is extrapolation to assume that it's good for our health. But we do have evidence to the opposite, that when food is grown in unhealthy soil that's been treated with a lot of antibiotics and pesticides, that food carries information that can take the healthy bugs in our intestine and actually turn them into unhealthy ones, into more antibiotic resistant bacteria, or, you know, what we call superbugs, you know. So certainly we are understanding that unhealthy soil has a very deleterious effect on our health.
And is any of this being talked about, much less taught, in medical schools today?
Well, the microbiome is finally making its way into medical school curricula. You know, I teach nutrition at UCSF, and I teach, I give a lecture at the Osher Center every year on integrative nutrition to the medical students. And up until last year, I was putting up slides about the microbiome and health, and they were all looking at me with blank stares. And I was like, how can this be? Like, people are talking about this who are just not medical, who are out in the community. And finally this year, they started to nod, the group of students that I taught this year, and they said, oh, yeah, we've been hearing about this in our classes. But something that people don't realize out in the community is a lot of times in medical education, we don't necessarily get the cutting-edge information. They wait till things are really, you know, very represented in the research and kind of almost old news for the lay public. I mean, like probiotics, for example, they weren't even being discussed in medical school until a couple of years ago, you know. So it's kind of interesting how information can lag sometimes.
Dr. Daphne Miller, the book is Pharmacology, What Innovative Family Farming Can Teach Us About Health and Healing. Daphne, I thank you so much for spending time with us today.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. It was a pleasure.
Thank you. We'll take a break. I'll be right back.